Market View on Money FM 89.3.
It's another day of losses for Singapore stocks, with the Straits Times Index continuing its fall below that once vaunted 2,600 support level. And whether it be continued COVID-19 concerns, rising geopolitical tensions, or a pessimistic view of earnings season at the midpoint, there's a lot of reasons to perhaps stoke worries. But today on Money FM 89.3, Terence Wong, CEO of Azure Capital, joins us again to recap the month that was and to share with us what he's tracking as we head into August. Terence, thank you so much for joining us once again. Glad to hear you're in good health and welcome back to the show.
Hey, JP. Yeah, everything's great.
Okay, so...
except the market.
That is, I was about to say, actually, it's not been the most promising start for the Straits Times Index in the second half. We're noting that the STI is down more than 1% this Thursday, and also a couple of points down since the beginning of July. How much of this decline below 2,600, though, has to do with these external factors, the second COVID-19 waves, U.S.-China tensions, versus, say, some of these domestic worries, given that Singapore is officially now in a recession?
I think you mentioned a couple of very, very valid points. It is a combination of factors, you know, that have kept the markets fairly subdued in the month of July. COVID-19 is one of the main culprits. It seems to be returning with a vengeance this month. Countries are seeing, you know, records being broken, and it seemed to be far worse than the first wave. We are seeing that in the U.S., for example, with, you know, 60 to 70,000 cases a day. We saw a record number of deaths just reported yesterday. And closer to home, Hong Kong, you know, the Philippines, Indonesia, and a host of other countries are also experiencing, you know, a pickup in the numbers. And that is one of the reasons why I think, you know, a lot of these COVID-related plays have done well this month. We're talking about the glove makers, the medical equipment suppliers, as well as the tech stocks. And talking about the weakness in the market, I think can also be attributed to the U.S.-China tensions, where the U.S. markets have totally ignored this portion, but I think around here in Asia, the markets have taken it with a little bit more, have like focused a little bit more on this in Hong Kong and Singapore markets. You know, it will continue to be an issue leading up to the U.S. presidential elections, and as I believe that there's going to be a host of rhetoric being blasted out. Result season, I think, for this coming month and into the first 2 weeks of August, I think that will also play a part in the market. We know the numbers will be very, very ugly, right? We are talking about the second quarter numbers, because if you recall, between April and June, that is the height, that is basically the peak of the lockdown. There were absolutely no economic activity happening, and I believe that many of these companies will actually be reporting numbers that will be very, very bad. In fact, one of the worst in their history. So the question is, how bad is it going to be?
Speaking of that, we are in the midst of earnings season, Terence, and I just wanted to get your thoughts on the REITs. This is a sector that many folks believe is still relatively defensive and brings a lot of yields, but they're also rather vulnerable as landlords to rental rebates and also a decline in possible of foot traffic and economic activity. A lot of them have actually just reported their earnings in the last 7 days. Can you share with us your impressions and whether there were any surprises to the upside among these REITs, or even surprises to the downside from your opinion?
Well, actually, for the REITs and the general market, we don't. I think the thing is, most investors don't focus on what has happened in the past quarter. Past quarter, like I mentioned, there's going to be a lot of blood. It's going to look ugly because, you know, people are just not shopping. There's going to be a lot of rebates coming out from the REITs themselves. So, if you look at the individual sectors, there's the retail and commercial REITs that've done bad. And looking ahead, I think that there are going to be ongoing concerns, particularly in the commercial space, because for office landlords, they have to contend with the mid to long term pressure that some of the big tenants may not continue on, or they may downsize. That is a huge likelihood. And I've spoken, you know, extensively on in interviews with you in the past that I think that is going to be one of the key pressing issues for office landlords. Retail has been feeling the crunch for quite a while right now. For hospitality, we expected it to actually pick up, you know, towards the second half of this year. But with the surge in COVID, I think that the recovery will likely be pushed out a little bit further out. And if there is just relatively speaking, there's one bright spot is going to be the industrial guys. So the industrial REITs are feeling the pressure a lot less compared to the other subsectors within the REIT space. And overall, if you're looking at the yields from the REITs, because most investors, when they want to pump money into the REITs, it is because of the yields, right? The yields, we are talking about sub 5% for the big, the bigger blue chip REITs versus, you know, for the smaller ones are going anywhere, you know, between 8 and 9%. So there is a big gap. And I think for the blue chip or the big cap REITs, it's probably fairly valued by now because, you know, just every investor and their dog, you know, will be invested in one of these REITs. And I see very, very limited upside.
All right.
So if you have it, you probably want to hold it. But if you don't have it, then there really is no reason. Because if you're talking about sub 5%, there are quite a few companies out in the market, blue chips even, in the Singapore market, they are yielding, you know, above 4% that will also give you the capital gains should the market pick up.
What are some of these companies? Can you share with us a few experiences, perhaps, perchance, Terrence?
I know that, well, the telcos are one of those in this space. Of course, Singtel is, again, because of the pressures from some of the overseas units, they are also feeling the crunch. Many investors are looking at the banks, but the banks, MAS just had this... gave this warning to banks, you know, not to overcompensate investors in terms of dividends right now. So they're capping the dividends. So I think that there will be some pressure hit for the banks. But some of these technology companies, I think, should continue to do well. And given that they are fairly cashed up, they should continue to give pretty decent yields.
We're still speaking to Mr. Terrence Wong, the CEO of Azure Capital, here on Money FM 89.3. Now, Terrence, what really captivated markets in the last few weeks also is that recent run-up for glove makers, not just driving shares in Malaysia to all-time highs, but also some of those listed here in Singapore, the likes, for instance, of Riverstone, UG Healthcare, the PPE makers of Medtex. Look, I get it. You know, we're in a pandemic, demand for these protective gloves and protective equipment rises. But how much of their gains based on what you're seeing is driven by structural upside versus actual speculation? And share with us what goes through your mind whenever you see the likes of UG Healthcare, for instance, spike up by 15% in one day, or MedTech go up by 20% and dominate in terms of value turnover. What goes through your mind whenever you see some of these moves?
JP, one word, insane. You know, I think it's just been a crazy surge in the share prices of all these glove makers, both whether is it in Singapore or in Malaysia. You know, I waxed lyrical about some of these previous of some of these glove makers in my previous interviews, again on together with you as well as Michelle. All the stars are actually aligned for the glove makers. You know, there's going to be extremely strong orders over the next 2 years, resulting in jumps in the average selling prices. Margins are expanding rapidly. And at one point in time, you know, because the ringgit, the cost is largely in ringgit, and they're selling prices in US, so that's also a bumper for them. But I believe that this will be the final wave for the glove makers, at least in the near term. Most of them are trading, if you look at the prices, most of them are trading at 20 times, above 20 times FY21 earnings. And next year's earnings will be extremely exceptional. It may be the best in its history, you know, due to one-off exorbitant price increases and huge demand. And I think that it will not be sustained into 2022 or 2023. And meanwhile, if you look at the number of COVID vaccines, I think there's like north of 150 of these COVID vaccines that are in various stages of development. And should they find a vaccine, you know, and that will actually be a catalyst to a sell-off in these glove makers. Because once you find a vaccine, then remember, but some investors, you think, hey, but they still demand gloves, right? Mm-hmm. But the market is such that we are very, very forward-looking. If there's vaccines, means that in 2 years' time, we don't demand as many pairs of gloves as we thought we would. And you know, that snap would result in, like I said, a catalyst to a sell down. So I think investors have to be very, very wary. Prices are no longer cheap. Demand is definitely there. But again, if a vaccine is found, or when one day some of these big institutional guys feel that it is overpriced already, there could be a sell down. I don't know when, but I just feel that there is a likelihood of that happening.
All right, but it's not a bubble yet, in your opinion, Terence?
Well, it is supported by earnings. I mean, if you look at the likes of, say, Top Glove, you know, the earnings are going to multiply by 10 times. And there is a very, very strong surge right now in terms of orders. But then again, the share price have also increased, have also multiplied. So if you ask me, I think it doesn't take a lot for the share price to start to come off.
Finally, Terence, I wanted to get your thoughts on this big opportunity, but also test for Singapore. As you know, we're gearing up to reopen green lanes with Malaysia. But we've seen that in some countries, when we touched on this earlier in the interview, despite best efforts, some COVID-19 cases do slip through and create new outbreaks. Case in point, for instance, Vietnam, which had it under control for so many months, one slip up, and now we have potential outbreaks in Da Nang and in Hanoi. On one hand, Singapore does need to restart some form of business activity with one of its most important trading partners. But on the other hand, there are those risks of a possible second wave that could ignite here, though. How are you, as an investor, viewing this possible balance of opportunities to expand economic activity and much-needed economic activity here in Singapore versus these possible risks? Do we have no choice but to take it and hope for the best?
JP, just to be sure, there's a 100% chance that risk will actually increase should we open the borders. But that said, we cannot close our borders indefinitely. I'm looking at it from an economic standpoint. It's just like when you're driving out there, that there is going to be a good chance that there are accidents out on the roads, right? But that doesn't stop everybody from driving. So we just have to be careful. We do what we need to do, put on a mask, you know, social distancing, wash our hands. So all these things, I think, if we were to have a certain level of discipline, we can keep the numbers down. It will likely still creep in, but then if the numbers are low, we can afford it. It's just like when we had the phased reopening, there were fears that the numbers will start to spike. Thankfully for now, touch wood, we have not seen the big spike yet, but we just have to be extremely cautious. And with regards to opening our borders, it should not just be to Malaysia, even though that's a great starting point. There will be more, we should have more travel bubbles, and I think the government is already looking into that. Opening up to, you know, other countries. We may not get the kind of like leisure travelers for this year, but we should continue to, or we should start to, you know, open up to transit passengers as well as those on essential business travel. Particularly for transit passengers, I think that that we can continue to grow that pool, and that will ensure that, you know, the aviation sector, which is very, very key to Singapore, many of these jobs can be saved, not just particular to the airlines, but, you know, we're talking about airport-related jobs, the back-end ones like servicing and maintenance of planes. I think that these are very, very crucial sectors, and they have a multiplier effect on the economy. So while, you know, I am very, very cautious about, you know, opening up, I think that that is something that has to be done.
All right. Wise words as we head into what's shaping up to be an actual new normal for us. Terence Wong, CEO of Azure Capital, thank you so much for joining us today on Money FM 89.3. I wish you and your family continued good health during these times, and we look forward to our next conversation. Have a great day ahead, sir.
Thanks so much, JP.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.